There's a resurgence of interest in Celtic wisdom today. And this year, St. Patrick's Day falls on Sunday. So this Sunday, we are exploring Celtic wisdom as a way to honor Irish history, traditions, and spirituality. It's helpful to remember that the Celtic world includes Ireland, but is not limited to Ireland. We heard from Matt about Wales, and the Celtic world includes Scotland, Wales, Cornwall, the Isle of Man, Brittany, Ireland, of course, and arguably a few other places. Celtic wisdom has much to offer spiritual seekers, and in his book, An Invitation to Celtic Wisdom, author and spiritual director Carl McColeman says, "The Celts of old were so conscious of living at the end of the world, their wisdom and spirituality remain meaningful and useful for us even today. Their way of seeing remains helpful to anyone today who seeks to enter the uncharted realms of mystery and spirit. As spiritual seekers, part of our quest is to enter those uncharted realms of mystery and spirit. For the Celts, material, physical places represent that edge of mystery and spirit. In ancient times, Celtic lands themselves seemed to be literally at the edge of that mystery. In fact, they were considered to be at the end of the world, at the edges of the world. Today, these places may no longer be seen as literally on the edge in quite the same way, but they continue to symbolize that sense of being on the edge of mystery and spirit. These lands and particular places in them are steeped in the unknown and infused with a timelessness. They exist on the threshold between worlds, this world and an other world. And we are drawn to such places. These thin places, as they are called, aren't merely beautiful or interesting, though they are certainly that. They are beguiling, and they allow us to breathe again. Eric Weiner, who has written a travel column in the New York Times, says this. He says, "I'm drawn to places that beguile and inspire, sedate and stir. Places where, for a few blissful moments, I loosen my death grip on life and can breathe again. It turns out these destinations have a name, thin places." And the Celts offer us this name, thin places. They are mystical and sacred places where that other world seems more near. Some say this is where heaven and earth come closer. According to a Celtic saying, heaven and earth are only 3 feet apart. But in thin places, that distance is even smaller. Isn't that a lovely saying? Heaven and earth are only 3 feet apart, but in thin places, that distance is even smaller. The veil that separates heaven and earth is said to be lifted, enabling a glimpse of the holy. There is an energy about these places that set them apart in some way. There's a kind of creativity, a depth of feeling, an ability to see and to hear more than can be seen or heard in other places, and to connect at a deeper level, to experience the presence of the divine. And according to Carl McColeman, thin places can teach us more about spirituality in general, but also about the unique wisdom of Celtic mysticism in particular. Thin places teach us of that presence that John O'Donohue wrote about in the words of that blessing we shared this morning. O'Donohue is an Irish poet and a philosopher. He describes that presence as awakening to the mystery of being here and celebrating the quiet miracles that seek no attention. These thin places remind us of that quiet immensity of our own presence and open us to the heart of wonder. Thin places afford an encounter with the sacred because these places serve as catalysts for such profound experiences. It's no wonder that the Celts developed a name for them. I can certainly relate to this myself from my own experience traveling to Ireland. I visited Ireland about 20 years ago. I was on a writer's tour that took us to Galway, the Aran Islands, and to writerly spots like Thor Ballaly. In Ireland, I encountered the rugged coast, mountain peaks, unique rock formations, steep cliffs, monastic sites, rolling meadows, sweeping woodlands, vast lakes, castles, ring forts, and medieval architecture. I was particularly mesmerized by the Aran Islands, where Gaelic remains the primary language. Has anyone been there? Anyone else? A couple of people. This is one of those places where you feel like you've stepped back in time. There's something ancient and pure about that space. It's a thin place. The landscape has remained largely untouched by industry and development. And there on the island of Inismore, I visited a ring fort. Ring forts are circular fortified settlements. And that was fascinating. But it was standing there looking out toward the Atlantic Ocean in the presence of all that history and that beauty. That's what stays with me. That's what lets me breathe again. Thor Ballaly was another thin place for me. This castle is the 14th century tower where William Butler Yeats wrote much of his work. It's located alongside a small river, and there's a bridge leading up to it, which is just magical. You know, these places, many of these historic places, are magical in their own way. The upstairs of the tower is reached by a winding stairway, and that's what really captured my imagination. It was that stairway that really caught me, caught my attention. Because I imagined, you know I'm a writer, you know I imagined what it would be like to be Yeats going up those stairs and writing poems that live on and on and on. Thor Ballaly was a thin place for Yeats. This seems unmistakable from his writing. He has one collection entitled The Tower, and that collection includes his famous sailing to Byzantium. And in another collection entitled The Winding Stair, he describes his enchantment with the tower. And he writes, just want to read a little piece of this. He writes, "Blessed be this space. More blessed still this tower. I declare this tower is my symbol. I declare this winding, gyring, spiring treadmill of a stair is my ancestral stair." Blessed be this space, a thin space. Thin places aren't restricted to Ireland or to Celtic lands. There are many places that can beguile and inspire us and let us breathe again. Celtic wisdom helps to bring our awareness to those thin places, wherever they may be. Helps to bring our awareness to those places where heaven and earth, the distance between heaven and earth, is smallest. This thin place concept can heighten our consciousness of place and also of divine presence in the world. Maybe we can't live in a tower. Maybe we don't want to live in a tower. Maybe we can't remove ourselves to an island that retains that kind of ancient feeling, but we can seek out thin places that refresh and renew us, that lift that veil that separates heaven and earth. And you know when I use these terms, don't you? That I'm not being literal about heaven and earth. Though maybe you are, and that too is okay. That experience we can have when that veil is lifted, that is a sacred and holy experience, and we can have that experience in our everyday lives. Carl McColeman writes that if you don't live in England or Ireland or Scotland or Wales, that doesn't mean there are no thin places near you. They are there. You'll have to go looking for them, he says, with your heart open and your soul keeping watch. Just pay attention with your eyes and your ears, and most important of all, your awareness attuned to the possibility that a particular place on the earth, a material point in space and time, can bring you to where you can begin to gaze into the limitlessness, the vastness, the timelessness of silence and eternity, where the beating heart of love beats with such urgency and presence that you could hear it if only you were silent enough. We can go looking for those places. Surely spirit and mystery are there if we but pay attention. They are, in fact, all around us, ever present. The Celts, though they recognize those thin places, also believe that sacredness is present to us in the everyday. Thin places make that connection more visible, more noticeable. This does raise a question of whether that mystery is more real or more present in thin places. Is it really there more than it's there anywhere else? Or are we simply more aware of it? Or are we simply somehow different in those places? I don't know the answer to those questions. I don't think we can be entirely sure. Maybe it's a little bit of all of those. But anyone who has had an experience of thin places is unlikely to doubt that there is indeed something magical, something mystical in certain places for whatever reason. There the holy, by whatever name, beauty, spirit, magnificence, awe, wonder, can be glimpsed. And anyone who begins to attune themselves to those experiences of mystery and wonder begins to sharpen their gaze to the vast and timeless silence and eternity that animates the world. I like what Irish poet and playwright Oscar Wilde has to say about this mystery. Oscar Wilde is always good for an interesting quote. This one's not quite as maybe cynical as some of his. He says, "The true mystery of the world is the visible, not the invisible." The visible, not the invisible. What is right before us, what is truly mysterious and beautiful and luminous, if we can only begin to tune into it and notice it. Celtic wisdom encourages us to seek mystery in the visible, to notice, to cherish, and to let those moments inspire and change us. For John O'Donohue, moments that attune us to the landscape in turn create a shift within us. They are moments of prayer. O'Donohue says, "One of the lovely ways to pray is to take your body out into the landscape and to be still in it. What is happening is that the clay of your body is retrieving its own sense of kinship with the great clay of the landscape. Landscape, he says, is an incredible mystical teacher, and when you begin to tune into its sacred presence, something shifts inside you. The sacred presence of landscape and place is deep Celtic wisdom that also resonates with Unitarian Universalism. Our first source draws on direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces that create and uphold life. Experience of wonder and mystery is fundamental to Unitarian Universalism. This is an important way that we engage the world, encounter the divine, and learn about ourselves. And it is consistent with Celtic spirituality. That experience, we believe, can happen anywhere and at any time if we pay attention, if we tune our senses, if we see the mystery of the visible, if we learn to enter the silence and breathe again, if we glimpse eternity, if something shifts inside us. Reverend Sarah Moores Campbell, who's a Unitarian Universalist minister, writes that we receive fragments of holiness, glimpses of eternity, brief moments of insight. She says, "Let us gather them up for the precious gifts that they are, and renewed by their grace, move boldly into the unknown." May we receive those fragments of holiness, those glimpses of eternity. May we ever seek out more of those moments. May we gather them as gifts. As O'Donohue says, may you experience each day as a sacred gift woven around the heart of wonder. May it be so. Amen.
Thank you for joining us this week. If you'd like a copy of the transcript of this sermon, you can find most week's messages at www.uuberks.org/sermons. If you have any thoughts or conversation about today's message, we hope you'll take a moment to stop by our Facebook page and share them. And from all of us at First UU Berks, may this chalice light your path and guide your way until you join us again.